One of the biggest things Jesus did with his disciples was to develop a conscience in their lives. What had happened is the disciples and the religious community was totally controlled by religion. He wanted them to be controlled by this remote control of God in their hearts, and one of those buttons was a conscience.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and this week, talking about developing a conscience in my child. And yesterday, we actually went down a short list of basically the training process of helping the parent teach this to the child. One was teaching them what right and wrong are, what the absolutes are. The second would be communicate that to your child. How can you talk about the feelings and all that, and that would tie in with the conscience. Number three is to set the example. Then number four, your child has to have sort of a framework, learning how to say I'm sorry. And then number five, giving them experiences, opportunities to experience how to have a conscience and pointing out when it's actually happening.
Because there's so much media coming after them that has no conscience involved in it, because they're barraged by all the people that are doing horrible things, because they're playing games, we have to find illustrations. One of the reasons I absolutely love some of the things like VeggieTales is because it brings it down to the life of a child where they can see the stories that have conscience in them, where they're developing the right and the wrong and the feeling and the conscience and the agony of Connie and Odyssey, or the agony of, it's so sad that I know all these children's things, but you know, Bob and Larry and dealing with all their different things in VeggieTales. And Jesus did the same thing, and he used a form of VeggieTales called parables. Mm-hmm. It was really interesting because the Pharisees didn't want the inner development of the heart. They didn't want to, you know, give me an inner development, because when you give me a conscience and an inner development of the heart, then it leaves us open for discussion, and they just wanted the list of rules. When I came to Christ, I was 21 years old, I believe, and I came to Christ, and I went to Rosemary's pastor. My wife was in church, and I was brand new in church, and I went to his pastor, and I sat with him, and I called and said, can I have an appointment? He said, yes, tell me ahead of time what you want. And I said, I really just want to ask you what the rules are. I mean, I basically said, what are the rules of engagement to be a Christian? In a different kind of way. And he laughed and he said, all right, let's meet. And I said, I have this little paper with a list. Am I allowed to do this? Am I allowed to do that? Am I allowed to do that?
That's awesome.
And each question I said, you know, Rosemary comes from a very fundamental background and she doesn't think we should dance, or she's concerned. What is the Bible? I said, so am I allowed to dance? And he said, what does the Bible say? And I don't know. I said, we'll find that out. And I went through every single list and he said, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? And it was just, I got furious. And I said, just give me the list. And he said, no, I want to give you God. And so he pushed me in there. And then you see Jesus developing, not a religion. And then he gives them a parable in Luke chapter 10. It's absolutely awesome because they're just saying, okay, let me ask you a question. Teacher, what must I do to inherit, to receive eternal life? And Jesus turns back at him. In one of the versions of this, Jesus says, what's the Bible say? In Luke, it says, and he does say to this guy, he said, well, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? And the expert in religious law says, well, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, right, do this and you'll live. And the man got totally baffled by that. You know, come on, we're supposed to be arguing.
Right.
And so the guy says, trying to justify his actions, it says in Luke 10:29, trying to justify his actions, he asked Jesus, and just who is my neighbor? In other words, is it just the tribe of Levi, or is it the tribe of Levi, Judah, and or is it, who is it? And so Jesus gives them the most bizarre illustration of a caravan that's coming from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And in the caravan, and it appears that typically at the front of the bus are the religious leaders and the schlubs are in the back of the bus. And so as the caravan goes by, they see this guy who is left by people with no conscience. They rob him, they beat him, and they leave him to die. No conscience. They used him to get stuff. No conscience. And so then he talks about people who maybe have a conscience, but they don't know what to do with it, or maybe no conscience. And the first religious leader walks completely by him on the other side of the road. Not only do I have a conscience, I don't even want to be near him. Another one walks up to him. Mm-hmm. Another religious person walks up to see, well, maybe I'll recognize him. Let me look and see. I feel kind of bad. It's like in our community recently here in South Florida, a woman got run over by two different people and neither of them stopped. Run over by one, and then last week, and then another car ran over. They didn't stop. Nobody wanted to stop. And then all of a sudden, this third guy, and I love this third guy because he's a Samaritan, and in the NLT they translated, then a despised Samaritan. Hmm. So Jesus is picking the back of the bus lowlife, according to the religious community. Hmm. A despised Samaritan came along and he saw the man. The first thing is he felt deep pity, or one translation says felt compassion. But he didn't just feel compassion. His conscience not only felt compassion, his conscience led him to know it's right to do something right here. And he stops and he puts the man on his donkey and he takes him to an inn and takes care of him. And Jesus is using this to say, look, it's more than just love God. The love of God is the beginning of the development of your conscience. It's then that love of God getting you to do the right or not do the wrong, making the right decisions from your conscience, from conscience to the feeling of compassion for what's right to the feeling of mercy. And it's beautiful because they announce it in the end. So Jesus says, now, which of these three? The religious leader walked by, the religious leader went over and looked, or the despised Samaritan who went over and actually helped, and it just wiped out his day and took the guy to a Holiday Inn and checked him in and took care of him. Which of these do you think did the right thing? Which loved his neighbor? And the guy actually replies, the one who showed mercy, the one who actually did something. That's a deep, ingrained, healthy conscience that I know that in my conscience, this is the right thing to do. And I know that God knew I was going to be in this situation. And I know this is going to cost. It's like Roby asking me, when he was a young teenager, is it ever right to fight? Mm-hmm. And I said, well, you know, I think there are times when it's right to fight. And it's right to fight only when you have to defend yourself and rather than initiate it because someone bumps into you in the hall, says something horrible about your mom. She just as soon you walk by, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It has disrespected me. No, you walk on by. But let me tell you when it's right to initiate, when you see somebody bullying somebody else. Mm-hmm. Know it's going to cost you. Just know it's going to cost you. It may not turn out well. Know it's going to cost you. But know you did the right thing. This guy, it cost him. Mm-hmm. It cost him the rest of his day. And he said, put it on my tab. I'll take care of it when I come back.
Because the root of it is compassion.
The root of it is having the right conscience to know how to make the right decision. Then out of that, being motivated through compassion to feel and going the next step to take action. Maybe a lot of people felt bad that that woman got run over. Mm-hmm. But they didn't do anything about it.
Yeah.
This conscience is the right or wrong in my heart. It's developing the truth of God in my heart and then having the opportunity to act on that, having the opportunity to respond to that, having the opportunity to do the right thing. And then as a parent, as we're developing this in our children, then wow, we watch them do the right thing. Here's a great example. Every Christmas when my children were growing up, we did one or both of these things. We made cookies and gave them away when they were little, because giving away cookies when you're 4, 5, 6, 7, that's huge.
Right.
When they got a little bit older, we went to a toy store and we said to Roby, pick out 3 toys you would really like to have for Christmas. And I want you to know ahead of time, you're not going to get them, but pick them out because we're giving them to a single mom who has a little boy your age. And watching him go and watching him the first time where he's picking these out. And then we finished shopping. I think that first time we went to Chili's, I can't remember exactly how this went because it was so long ago. And why did we do this? Because she doesn't have stuff. And I said, not only does she not have stuff, we have so much stuff, Rope. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a kid would say, well, can I give him some of my stuff in my closet instead?
Right.
And yeah, we could. But wow, wouldn't we want to give him the best? We've got the best at home. It's awesome what we have. And developing in my children this sense of this conscience is it is better to give than receive. Well, that verse, it's more blessed to give than receive. That's not an automatic. The automatic is it's so much more blessed to get than give. Well, who are we kidding? But as we develop it and watching my kids get jacked and then watching my kids as adults today love to give beyond the tithe. They just get jacked to do that because they got it. God, I didn't do that in their heart. I planted that in their heart and then God just grew that seed of a conscience to a compassion to actually doing mercy and watching them get so excited about giving these toys away at Christmas to somebody else and then having them be involved in the single mom events here at Sheridan House as they're growing up and watching how much fun that is to give. It is more blessed to give than receive, but that starts out of planting the word where the conscience is knowing what's right, the right, and the world says right is get all you can. Mm-hmm. Get all you can. You know, it's the funny thing that we miss. It was either Vanderbilt, where they asked him how much is enough. And he said, just a little bit more. Mm. That was the button in his heart. And I think it was one of the other wealthy men, or maybe Vanderbilt, when they asked after he died his accountant, how much did he leave? And the accountant said, every bit of it.
Wow.
He took nothing with him to where he was going. Right. He left it all. But his conscience was a little bit of a conscience or a mechanism, a decision-making mechanism that I grew up with in the home of a typical dad who was not a believer and basically a materialist. And that's kind of our culture. More is better. Mm-hmm. The phrase was money makes the world go round.
Right.
Joseph's phrase was, how could I do such a thing and sin against God? Mm-hmm. Developing a conscience, planting the word, and then helping your children experience initially the awkwardness of, I'm sorry, I was wrong, will you forgive me? The awkwardness of giving of our own stuff or giving the best to somebody else. Mm-hmm. The awkwardness of having people in our house for Thanksgiving and sharing our house and then watching them, because when children get it, they get it better than adults get it.
Yeah.
They really get it. But it takes a long time. And it's the same thing here at Sheridan House with the children's homes, because we get them at 12, 13, and 14. And it's not developed in many of them that it's better to do the right thing. It's not an issue of just, you know, only do the right thing when you think you're going to get caught. Otherwise, do whatever you can.
Right.
And developing that, and that includes consequences for doing the wrong thing, but that includes cheering for doing the right thing and mm-hmm. cheering for going the extra mile and cheering for helping somebody when you got your chore done and helping the other one and cheering, letting them know, wow, that was the right thing. Mm-hmm. And so we reinforce it.
Because when you turn into an adult, you end up doing the right decisions and no one's around to cheer you. But I don't know if it happens to you. Sometimes I'll do something right, but it's private. Nobody needs to even know about it.
Mm.
And then you have that kind of sense like you're a little kid again and you feel like God's saying, okay, that was good.
It is good. And I guess I'm younger than you or less mature. I love coming home and telling Rosemary, boy, I got an opportunity to do something nice for somebody
yep.
today.
And that's what family's for, though, too.
Yeah,
brag
yeah.
about yourself.
And I'm sure she looks at me and says, when did you go back to being 6 years old?
No.
You have to tell me these things. But there's that moment. You know, there's a men's Bible study here at Sheridan House that meets on Thursday mornings. And we always end the Bible study with be the best part of somebody else's day.
Mm.
You know, it's kind of like that Hill Street Blues. You know, it's be careful out there. We send them out, be the best part of somebody else's day. And going out of there knowing it's not about me, in a culture that pounds your kids, it's all about you, in a culture that's brutalizing your kids. And it's giving them a little bit of an armor. So that child said that to you in middle school.
Mm-hmm.
And why did you let that hurt your feelings? And even if somebody laughed at you, why did you let that hurt? That isn't you. I don't know who they were talking to. It's not you. That wasn't you. And the barking back or having a sarcastic comment back, all you did was allow them to make you into them.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to be them.
And lower yourself to their
level. Yes, you've lowered yourself to that standard rather than feeling sorry for that person.
That's hard for them to comprehend.
They're children.
You do have to teach it, you know? They're not going to get it until they're probably adults.
Well, when someone honks at you in the highway and your kids are in the back seat and you get furious and honk back
mm-hmm.
or gesture back or do whatever back.
Who needs a lesson?
Yeah, well, there I am. You know, I've allowed that person to take me down to their level rather than saying to that child, why shouldn't I honk back when they do that? I don't know, Daddy was really, but why shouldn't I honk back? And trying to show them, you know what? I'm not going to be him. I don't know what he's angry about. I'm not going to be him. And you've got some friends at school that don't have a good life at home. And so they're angry and they come to school angry and feisty and they say things and do things and they're bullies or whatever they are. No, don't become them. Actually, they don't feel good about themselves.
Right.
So don't become the person who doesn't feel good about themselves. You're a child of the King. I know that doesn't make sense to you, but I got to tell you, Robe, when you took that kid out in that soccer game and you went back by him and said, I'm sorry, are you okay? And the kid just kind of looked at you that day like, you're kidding, right? And you just did the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you did the right thing in taking him out. You're both going for the ball, but you also did the right thing. I'm sorry, are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you were sorry that came to that and you wanted to make sure he was okay. That was cool. I mean, every parent saw that, Rob. I know you didn't see it. I know you just did it because you wanted to do it. But every parent saw that and they were trying to figure out who your parent was. And let me tell you, I was glad I had my Roby shirt on that day. It was absolutely awesome. What do we reinforce? We reinforce conquest. We reinforce, you know, performance. I want to reinforce developing the heart of the child, where it goes from knowing the word of God, letting it massage their heart, where I want to be pleasing to God, where I have a conscience, I know right from wrong. I don't take things that don't belong to me because it's the wrong thing to do. And then learning, you're right, learning to hear God say, well done. And that, you're 40 years old before you hear that.
Right.
It takes a long time to develop that. Develop that in your heart of your child and you will raise a successful child. Joseph went from prisoner to prime minister of Egypt because he had a conscience.
You've been listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J. And if you want to find out more about Sheridan House Family Ministries, go online to shfm.org. You can find out about the variety of things that the ministry does, even resources there that help support the ministry that you can purchase online at shfm.org. To hear this program again, share it with a friend or sign up for the daily email blog. That's online at parentingtoday.org. We hope you'll join us tomorrow for more on this topic of developing a conscience in my child here on Parenting Today.